The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, a lot of controversy over the weekend about how Amnesty International has been ordered to return a donation it was given by the billionaire George Soros. We'll be talking to Colm O'Gorman about that in a moment. But I want to start first with John McGurk, who is a commentator in political affairs, very active on Twitter over the weekend about this. Why have you been so engaged by this, John?
Well, because the law of the land has been broken. That is the simple answer. Amnesty have, by their own admission, put out a press release saying this, taken €137,000 from an American billionaire for the explicit purpose of campaigning to repeal the Eighth Amendment, which is in contravention, according to the Standards and Public Office Commission, of the electoral laws of the land. These are the electoral laws that you and I have to obey by, that any third party campaigning in a referendum has to obey by. And Amnesty International have become the first organisation in modern Irish history to put out a press statement saying we will not obey the law of the land. They haven't said we'll challenge the law. They haven't said we're going to test it in court. They've said flat out we are going to keep the money and we're not going to comply. And I think that is an extraordinary statement for a responsible organisation to make. And I mean, Colm O'Gorman, who is the executive director of Amnesty International, has said on numerous occasions, a range of quotes from Colm, where he says, in relation to other matters, look, we might not like the law, but we have to obey it. And I find it astonishing that in this case, they have taken the position that they're frankly going to flout the law and flout the regulations of the Standards and Public Office Commission, which is charged with upholding the law.
Okay, John McGurk, thank you very much for outlining the case for us there. We actually are joined now by Colm O'Gorman, Director of Amnesty International Ireland. So, Colm, is it as charged? You have received this money from George Soros, have you?
No, we've received this money from the Open Societies Foundation, which is a human rights foundation set up with an endowment from George Soros. So George Soros transferred a significant amount of his wealth into an endowment that established this foundation. And the foundation grants supports work by organisations around the world on open society issues. So freedom, democracy, human rights and equality. And we received a grant from them in January of 2016. The grant period was the 1st of January 2016 to the 31st of November 2017. So ends in a couple of weeks' time. And that was to fund our work to secure a human rights compliant framework for abortion in Ireland, which, yes, will require the repeal of the Eighth Amendment and the introduction of new laws. And we published publicly all of that information on our website in January of 2016.
So it wasn't a question of you being asked or forcing you to disclose that?
No, not at all. I mean, we as a matter of our own practice and policy, Amnesty only accepts donations that can of this kind from foundations, grant from foundations, that are publicly reported. And indeed, the Open Society Foundation, as most other foundations, requires that they be publicly reported. So there's been nothing in any way cloaked about this. It is the case that DC Leaks, this Russia-related, I understand, entity that released the hack of the DNC servers in New York, released information that had been hacked from the Open Society servers in New York in the summer of last year. And within that, there was information about this grant, which found its way onto so-called pro-life websites that then become a matter of controversy. But all of this information was in the public domain.
So you're saying you'd already put it in the public domain before that had happened?
We always report our sources of funding.
But why take money from an overseas institute?
Human rights foundations make grants to human rights organisations to do human rights work. That's what we're talking about here. That's normal practice. These kinds of foundations exist to support exactly that kind of work. That's how human rights work is funded in part. I mean, Amnesty is lucky in that we're unusual that most of our funding comes from our members. I mean, the OSF grant constitutes about 2.5% of the funding in any year to which it applied. So most of our funding, we're lucky, it doesn't come from those kinds of sources.
You put it up on your website January 2016. Mm. When did you tell SIPO, the Standards and Public Office Commission, that you had received this money?
Well, we would never have told SIPO that we received this money, because it's normal practice for organisations who are campaigning for human rights and equality and these kinds of issues to just get on with their work. We became aware that this was an issue for SIPO in 2016 when they wrote to us on foot of articles flowing from that leak or that hack of the Open Societies Foundation asking us for information about the grant. We responded to them, confirming that we'd received the grant, confirming that this was to secure a human rights compliant framework for abortion in Ireland, and giving them a page and a half of very detailed information about what the grant would be used for, the kinds of activities, the purpose of the grant. Yes, the repeal of the Eighth Amendment. Yes, the introduction of EU laws. Yes, that would mean we'd be doing a lot of high level political engagement, lobbying, public research, all of that kind of stuff. So we gave them all of that information. And in October of 2016, and I have the letter in front of me, they wrote to us to say that with reference to the above article, that's the article about the Open Societies Foundation, and to previous correspondence, and on the basis of the documentation provided, the very detailed documentation that we gave them, the Standards and Public Office Commission accepts your statement that your organisation is not currently required to register with the Commission as a third party. So we made clear to them what we were doing in 2016. We said to them that we believed that the Act should be applied during election and referendum campaigns. We registered as third parties during the marriage equality referendum if there's a referendum on the Eighth Amendment, and if the wording of that referendum is one that we can support, we will again register with the Standards and Public Office Commission and comply fully with the regulation. But in 2016, they told us there was no issue with
the grant. So what's changed so that SIPO has now told you to give the money back?
We don't know. They wrote to us in November of 2017 to tell us that they had received confirmation from the Open Societies Foundation that they'd given us the grant and the period that it related to. We'd already told them that. They told us that it was that the foundation had confirmed it was the author of the document that had been leaked online that led to the original story. And they said that we had confirmed in 2016 that we'd received the foundation's grant. And now on that basis, despite their decision from a year earlier, they're telling us that we've contravened the Electoral Act as amended and accepted a prohibited donation, and they're instructing us to immediately return it to the
Is there anyone
foundation.
You can appeal that decision to?
No. There is. This is an entirely opaque process. As we understand it, there is no appeals mechanism in
place. OK. Now, what about the allegation that John McGurk has said that it's extraordinary that you've decided to break the law, that you are refusing to hand the money back?
Well, you know, John is a very active opponent of the repeal of the Eighth Amendment, so I understand that he has a very particular agenda here. What we have said is that we will not comply with this instruction from SIPO. Why won't we comply with it? Because we believe it's unjust. We believe that it's the way that they're interpreting the Act will give rise to grave human rights violations and restrictions on violations of civil society freedoms. By the way, that's not just our view. That would be the view of the Irish government, which at the international level leads out and champions oppositions to exactly these kinds of laws. This Act,
but it's still the law.
It is still the law, and we
don't
believe
you have to respect the law in the country in which you operate.
We believe that the law is both unjust and has been inappropriately applied. So let's be really clear what I'm saying here. We will not comply with this instruction, and we are exploring every possible avenue that we can use to ensure that the flaws in this legislation are addressed. So, of course, as we wrote to the Commission on foot of their most recent letter, we're taking legal advice, and in due course we decide what's the appropriate response for us to make.
Many
to this
people would say the appropriate response is just to follow the law,
Matt,
even if you don't like it.
So you're a journalist, Matt. Imagine for a moment there's a funny little poorly worded piece of legislation that somebody discovers they can use to try and force you to reveal a source. Would you comply with that law?
That's a hypothetical. I'm asking you about a real situation.
I'm asking you a hypothetical question that's highly relevant. You're saying
and
it's
I'm
never,
not actually going to answer
saying,
it.
Well, you see, I think that's a problem.
No, it's not a problem, Colin, because the issue the issue that we're dealing with.
To believe that a human rights organisation should comply with an instruction that violates human rights, I think, is a nonsense. To accept that an organisation like Amnesty will use every means at its disposal, whether it be civil disobedience, which is a completely reasonable approach for anybody to adopt, but more importantly, whether it be ongoing campaigning and advocacy, and if necessary, legal engagement to bring an end to a law that threatens civil society freedoms in this country. Because let's be clear, that's not just our view. That's the view of the Irish government in terms of its international advocacy. And I'm not saying the law is flawed. In 2003, in its review of the Electoral Acts, SIPO said that the wording around political purpose was so broadly drawn that it would capture organisations like, for instance, Tidy Towns Committees, Residents and Tenants Associations, community organisations, Trocra, Amnesty International, Threshold, St Vincent de Paul, the credit union movement, a whole range of organisations. And it flagged that if it had to apply the law in that way, it would undoubtedly limit the capacity of those organisations to legitimately fundraise and go about their day-to-day work. They predicted that 14 years ago, and they've said it repeatedly since, and no government has addressed it. And now, it's happening. And why is it happening? It's happening because opponents to the work of some organisations, for nothing other than ideological reasons, are weaponising a really flawed law to attack, undermine and harass those organisations rather than have the substantive debate on the issue. And it's not just on abortion. An organisation called Education Equality, which is campaigning for equal access to education, was also the subject of a complaint to SIPO, was found to have breached the law, was put under enormous pressure. A group of parents advocating to try to make sure they get their kids into school. Somebody weaponised this act and attacked them in a way that crippled them for a year under threat of criminal sanction and criminal investigation. And they're just one of a range of organisations who are now being targeted because of how SIPO are allowing this law to be applied. And we, as a human rights organisation, will not stand by and allow that to happen.
Okay, final question to Conor McGorman, though. As a human rights organisation, many people are a little bit confused, and I know this because it has come into us on the programme previously, by Amnesty's involvement in a pro-abortion campaign as they see it. Now, Amnesty started out, I think, for writing letters towards prisoners of conscience and developed as a global organisation lobbying against injustices in countries where civil rights were being denied. But a lot of people are confused as to how that then goes forward into being a pro-abortion advocate.
So first of all, we're not pro-abortion, we're pro-human rights. I don't quite know what pro-abortion means, no more than I know what pro-heart surgery might mean. What we advocate for is human rights compliance. And Ireland has been repeatedly found to be gravely violating the human rights of women and girls here in Ireland on an ongoing and regular basis. There are very few laws here in Ireland that subject people living in this country to cruel, inhuman and degrading treatment. That's not our view. That's the view of the UN Human Rights Committee. It's a view that's been accepted by the Irish government when they agreed to comply with decisions of the Human Rights Committee in two cases alone over the last 12 months. So the reason why we're active in this case is because our members decided in 2013 that Amnesty International in Ireland should campaign for a human rights compliant framework for abortion in Ireland.
Did you lose members because of that decision?
No. Well, that's not entirely true. We lost some members because of that decision. There was one local group, for instance, that decided to disband because it disagreed with the decision made by the rest of our members. That's perfectly reasonable. Members don't have to go along with everything.
Because there may have been some members who would regard, and this again is what we're going to be arguing about, I'd imagine, next year when it comes to the amendment, there are some people who believe that human rights should be extended as well to the unborn.
And it's perfectly reasonable to for people to hold that view. And it's not about whether or not Amnesty International believes it. It's simply incorrect as a matter of international human rights law. Law that's written by states, not by Amnesty, but by countries including Ireland. It's very clear at this point now that women and girls have a human right to access safe and legal abortion, and that to deny them access to abortion gravely violates their rights. And that's the basis on which we're... And just to answer very quickly on the question of have we lost members, this is the campaign, despite our expectation that this would hurt and cost us to take on this particular issue, this is the campaign that has most engaged and energised Amnesty International members, and our membership has doubled in the last 5 years.
Okay, a final question to you, Conor McGorman. You were very involved in the marriage equality referendum and you had a successful outcome in relation to that. But what do you expect from the character of the debate that's likely to take place next year? How different do you think is the 2018 referendum likely to be to what went in 2015?
Well, I have to say the fact that opponents to progress in this area are looking to attack, harass and undermine anybody who dares work on the issue doesn't bode well. And we're seeing multiple attacks on the integrity and the existence of organisations who are simply trying to engage in the debate. Amnesty and others among
them. Will that not happen in the other direction as well?
No, it won't. Because actually, we're here defending civil society freedoms. We stand up absolutely and defend the right of the pro-life campaign and any other organisation to legitimately raise funds to go about their campaign and present their case. This is about their freedom as well. We are not making complaints to SIPO. We're not running, for instance, a petition on a global website called Citizen Go targeting SIPO that sent them 1,385 emails over the last 12 months to get them to revisit their decision from August of 2016, which seems actually to be working because now they have revisited that decision. The irony of an overseas website targeting a regulator in Ireland to get them to attack an Irish organisation wouldn't be lost on most people. We're not the ones who are making these complaints to the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. We stand over. We will advance our argument for the repeal of the Eighth Amendment based on the substance of the issue, based on the case for repeal of the Eighth Amendment. We won't do it by attacking the integrity of organisations or other involved and trying to have them defunded.
Conor McGorman of Amnesty International, thank you for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.